I want to read, you know, I started to say this will be the least biblical message you'll ever hear me preach, but that's not what I mean. What I mean is I'll use the least amount of Bible in a sermon you'll ever hear me use, probably tonight. But it'll be biblical when I'm done, okay? That could have came out wrong. John 2 and verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, they have no wine.
Jesus saith unto her, woman, what shall I do with thee?
His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Well, Father, as we come to you tonight, we come and we would pray that you would strengthen our families, continue to strengthen them. Thank you for our moms. Thank you for the moms that have brought their children up as godly as they can and did it the very best of their ability, not perfect, but certainly given it their best. Thank you for the message we heard this morning on moms and making a home a place of heaven from Brother True, and I pray that you'll bless him as he goes over to Bucky Road this evening as well. I also thank you for this text and some of the things that we can glean from it, and I pray that you would help us to glean a simple truth tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to speak on this particular dysfunction of families tonight. This will be the last one in this series. And it is going to be on the inability to celebrate. Now, I want you to notice in this story, Jesus was called, verse 2, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. So Jesus and his disciples, along with Mary, was there, and they are called to this wedding. This wedding, obviously, by reading the story, is a celebration. I mean, they are having themselves, for a good old English word, a party. I mean, they are celebrating and they are having a party and they're having themselves a really good time. Now, I hate to say this, but some of you can probably relate to this. Growing up, I knew a person who just could flat not celebrate, and quite frankly, could make a day of what should be a day of celebration miserable for everybody else. And that's an awful way to be. My family, my personal family, was not big on celebration. Now, some of you are going to, Faith is giggling, she knows who I'm talking about, but anyway, don't ask her later. When I graduated, nobody mentioned a graduation ceremony. I didn't even go to my own graduation. My neighbor told me they called my name, but I wasn't there. I was in the barn putting hay up in the barn. You know, there was nothing about, hey, my son graduated, that's cool, that's good, nothing. Do you know how much money I lost out on by not having a graduation party? I'm thinking to myself, when I hear what somebody's kids make, I mean, I got the short end of the stick on that deal. But anyway, some of you might have not did that either. We didn't have a graduation party. Nobody mentioned it. I don't know. Well, I'm pretty positive. Now, I come from a family that was 9 children, plus my cousin, 10. Not all of them graduated. But not one of us that did graduate, not one had a graduation party. There was no celebration whatsoever. Thanksgiving is a day to celebrate in America, this country, and the provision that God has provided for us. But Thanksgiving in our family, really all it meant was you get up in the morning, and you go deer hunting. You come home in the afternoon, about lunchtime, and you ate a great big meal. Then you go to the couch, and you faint for several hours, and then you watch some football. And that was pretty much what Thanksgiving was. Birthdays, I don't remember much of that. It wasn't something that we did a lot of. Now, here is an important truth, and this is really all I want to convey tonight. Healthy families, families that are healthy, know how to make a celebration of special times together. And I want to say this, and you can do this consistently all the time. Meals. Because celebration and food, they go together. Faith has asked this on more than one time. How come every time we get together, food is involved? I will tell you why. Because celebration and food, they go together. They just do. When you have somebody over to your house, a lot of times, you'll make out a little tray of hors d'oeuvres. No, you don't have hors d'oeuvres for your regular family. You just have hors d'oeuvres when your church family or others come over. That's the only time you do that. You don't put out this great big, spread for all that. But when others do, you come over. Celebration and food, they go together. And this very well might be a Baptist distinctive, that food and celebration go together. However, we live in a fast food trend, and then moms work outside the home, and they go against this thinking of celebration and food around a dinner table. Dolores Kerman, she wrote a book called Traits of a Healthy Family, and she wrote concerning healthy families, she said they are very protective of the time allotted to the family dinner hour and often become angry if they're asked to infringe upon it for work or pleasure. A good number of respondents indicated that adults in the healthiest families that they know refuse dinner business meetings as a matter of principle. They discourage their children from sports activities that presume upon the dinner hour as a condition for team participation, and they never allow television to become part of the menu. Or in our day, if I was writing that chapter in that book, I would add this, or a cell phone, or an iPod, whatever else you have that you push buttons on, okay? They don't become part of the family dinner. Healthy families shut the TV off and they gather around the supper table. Now, you know this is a Baptist distinctive and sound doctrine. You can't beat a good church potluck dinner. You just can't do it. Some families have a very little sense of celebration about them. But celebration in healthy families goes beyond sharing meals together. But it can always start there. And it should always be there. But food often is part of the mixture. It's Mother's Day, but I would definitely say this. Mom, you ought to make a big deal of supper time. You ought to not have your children in front of the television. You ought to have them around the table with Dad, if he's home and not working at those hours, and Mom and the kids gathered around the table. And when you're done eating, you know what we've always done this? And this is one thing my family even did when we were young, although we sure had most about everything else wrong. We just sit there and talk. We just sat there and talked. When we get together usually once a month at my house and then once a month at Faith's house and sometimes at Mike and Mel's. We usually get together twice a month or more, not every month, but quite often. And, I mean, when we get strung out, there's like 17 of us down through there. I mean, we got a row of people. And we'll sit around that dinner table after we're done and we just talk. And then once we've ate a nice meal and talked for a while, then we have some dessert. And we eat a little bit more and we talk a little bit more. But the family dinner time should be a very special time. And it should really be guarded against. Now, I don't know if you grew up in a home where your mom didn't do that or whatever. But you may have got that dysfunction in your family. I would tell you I would change that. I would change it to the place where, especially if your kids are little, where you would sit around a table. You will sit around a table as a family, and you will have family dinner time together. Families that struggle with celebration, they reason things away. Well, that birthdays and anniversaries and graduations are really just like any other day, and therefore they play them down. Personally, me, Chris mentioned Brandon getting commissioned today as an officer to the Army. So I still struggle with, like, going to stuff like that. It's still a battle for me. It's been a battle for me my whole life. It's still a battle for me. I suppose today if somebody said, hey, you're graduating from high school today, but there's hay to be put in the barn, what are you going to do? I would probably say, I'll probably put the hay in the barn. Now, it's probably the wrong thing to do. But I'll be honest, I still struggle with that as much as anything. And so it's a big day in Brandon's life. He's going to go get commissioned in. It happens once in somebody's lifetime. And so I want to go to that, but I don't want to miss Sunday school at the same time. And so I got this plan going through my head. Sunday mornings early, there's very little traffic on the road. You know, you can make good time. So I think if we get there, and they do a good job with this ceremony, it started at 7 o'clock in the morning. So, which this is just a side note. Why does Syracuse University have all their graduations on a Sunday to begin with, and then on Mother's Day to boot? It didn't make any sense to me. I've been complaining about it ever since I heard about it. But anyway, it just made no sense to me. But that's what they do. And then so once the military is done doing their thing, when they start at 7 in the morning, they're more disciplined kids most likely because they have been training for the military, right? And then right after we left, now the Syracuse University are people. They're all coming in and they're calling them into the dorm. Ours wasn't in the dorm, but theirs wasn't. But it's a big time and it's a time to celebrate. And we did get back before Sunday school, and I didn't miss that. Now, the missionary was late, so maybe if I had known he was going to be late, maybe I wouldn't have, you know, been in such a big hurry. But nonetheless, we got back. But I can still struggle with some of that stuff. We need to be people who celebrate. And these dysfunctional families feels it silly to make a big deal like 4th of July. You know what 4th of July is? It's the independence birthday of our nation. We never celebrated that. So what'd you do on 4th of July? Most of the time, we cut firewood. If Dad had the day off, trust me on this, when I was little, if my dad had a day off in the summer and he was home, we cut firewood. We did one of two things. We went trout fishing or we cut firewood. That was very simple. You were going to do either A or B. And it wasn't your choice which one you did. It was his choice which one you did. And that was really the only two choices. Memorial Day, Labor Day, all of those things were days that we just worked. We never had a family picnic. We never did any celebration. It was just do all the time. Now, in these types of families, the standard response to an invitation, hey, would you like to get together for a picnic on July 4th? Why? What's the big deal? You're having a graduation party? How come? I can give you pretty much the way it was treated at our house. You went to school. And you graduated. Big deal. That's what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to go to school, and you were supposed to graduate. So in all honesty, you didn't do anything that spectacular. Now, there is a little bit of truth to that. You should go to school, and you should graduate. But it is a time of celebration because you actually achieved something. And they might ask something like this. I actually read this in a book someplace, somewhere. Are you aware that one of the reasons Rome fell is because she had too many holidays? Well, I don't know if the reason that Rome fell was because she had too many holidays. But healthy families understand the importance of celebration. And they schedule times and participation in them. Now, I will admit, I brought a lot of this into my family. How many of you take a family vacation? You've taken a family vacation sometime in your life. Okay, good. Put your hands down. We never did. My dad did. But he would leave my mom and us kids at home. He was smarter than you realize, I think. But no, we never took a family vacation. So one day I was in Bible college and Denise says, we're going to, what's that place where Shamu the whale is? SeaWorld. You knew that. We're going to go to SeaWorld. And I'm like, what's a SeaWorld? She tells me what a SeaWorld is. I'm like, why are we going there? So we can do something that's fun. What was my next question? Nope. How much? That's right. And how much is this going to cost? Never mind. I've saved up the money. Why are we going? Because. But I had all these questions. I said, all right. So Dan was little. Faith, I don't think, was even born yet. Nah, you missed out. You remember SeaWorld? No, you weren't even. I don't. And Dan was probably too little to go, but we went anyway. And everything to him was serious. I mean, serious is a heart attack. He'd watch these crazy, silly, funny shows, and he's just watching those things like everything is dead serious. We're cracking up, but not him. He's like, you know, it's just serious as a heart attack. And you know what? I had a good time. It was fun. I enjoyed all the shows. I actually enjoyed not working the whole day. I didn't work any of that day. We left in the morning. We came back in the evening, and it was just terrific. But it had been, I'd like, you know, taking a family vacation a whole week. That was like a totally foreign concept to me. I'd never heard of such a thing. Because my dad hunted, I've heard of taking a couple days to go hunting. You know, you, I don't know, sleep in the back of your pickup truck. We did that a few times. But just to go away and go to do nothing, that was a completely foreign concept to me. Now, I'll tell you something else you may not. So when I know what I've got some experience talking about this. Wedding, you're married and then you go on a reception. I was close. When you go on a honeymoon, I'm getting ready to get married. People are talking about this honeymoon and I'm like, what are you talking about? Now, I know you think I'm stupid. I should have known this. But I honestly thought, what in the world is the honeymoon for? I've been dating this girl for a year and a half. I mean, we know each other. What are we going away for? I had no clue. See, that's pretty bad, isn't it? That is pretty bad. But I had no clue. So we went away. Now, I want you to think about something. I want you to consider the Old Testament in celebration. The Lord established times of celebration for His people. The weekly Sabbath showed us that men and women were more than workers. You know what else they were? They were worshipers. The Sabbath was to be a special time for both the individual family and the family of God. Sundays is, Amy mentioned the church family. Sundays is a special time for the family of God. The Sabbath for the devout Jew was the high point of their week. And for us, it would start on Friday. So when we were in Israel, we're going to go get dinner. And everybody, all the Jews are coming in and they're all dressed up. And I mean dressed up. And they're like having a time. And our guide says, you normally say shalom in Hebrew, right? Hello. But on Friday evening and into Saturday, you don't just say shalom. You say Shabbat shalom because it's a special hello on the Sabbath day. So they say Shabbat shalom. And I mean, they were just celebrating. They have a big dinner, which they did. We had a big dinner every night we were there. But on the Sabbath, it was just a big thing to them. And I do believe this. When our culture changed its thinking about Sunday being special, we gave up a huge national treasure. The rest and celebration of the Lord's Day is a special day. Now, I'm going to say this to we have a lot of young couples here. Some of you don't remember that. Some of you don't remember that Walmart didn't exist. And none of the stores were open on Sundays. They weren't open. If you needed, you know when you got ready for Sunday? Saturday. You know when you should get ready for the Lord's Day nowadays? That despite Walmart being opened on Sunday, you should get ready for the Lord's Day on Saturday. I mean, you get your kids bathed before they go to... Why? Because Sunday is the special day. This is the highlight of the week, man. And some of you don't remember that. Let me say this too. Some of you, you young people, and this is sad. Some of you don't remember anything about true conservatism. You've never seen it. Since Ronald Reagan was the president in this nation, you've never seen a true conservative president. And you don't know anything about conservative policies and politics. And you probably, and I hate to say this, but I think it's true, you probably never will. I don't know that a true conservative is electable in this nation today. And I don't mean a conservative Democrat or a conservative Republican. They're not truly conservatives by conservative standards. The closest thing you have today is a Tea Party person, and they're talked down like they're the wickedest thing there is. But the truth of the matter is they would be closer to a true conservative than anything else that we have out there. But some of you don't really remember Sundays being no stores open, no gas stations open, none of that happening. You don't remember what was referred to as the blue laws. I don't even know if you know what the blue laws were, some of you. You're too young for that. And conservatism, you don't know anything about that. But when our nation gave up, they're thinking about Sunday as a special day, it lost. We lost. You lost. So back to the Jews for a moment. They got ready for the Sabbath. You should the Lord's Day. You should start Saturday night. Sunday's the highlight of the week. Can I say this? Nothing that you do this week, nothing that you do this week will be more important than what you do today when you worship the Lord and spend time in God's house with God's people. Now, besides the Sabbath, God also established other times of celebration for His Jewish people throughout the year. And each one of them have its own emphasis. And you can study this if you want. I won't go through all these tonight. Besides the Sabbath, there was the Feast of Passover, which was different from the Feast of Pentecost, which was different from the Day of Atonement, which was different from the Festival of Booths. The Hebrew word Rosh, most of you know Rosh Hashanah, Rosh means head or beginning. Hosanna is the year. Rosh Hosanna is the New Testament only one time. The more common name is the Feast of Trumpets, and it celebrates a time of new beginnings with the Lord. And so that is still a very special day in Jewish life. God also instructed that once every 50 years, the Jews would experience what's known in the Bible as the year of Jubilee. Hebrew slaves during that year would gain their freedom. It was quite a year. And have you ever looked at Old Testament weddings? I think we should go back to this. I want to read you an excerpt from Zondervan's Pictorial Dictionary. It says, on the day of the wedding, the bride dressed in white, elaborately embroidered robes, bedecked herself with jewels, Isaiah 61, and put on a veil, Genesis 24, and a garland. The bridegroom, attended by friends and accompanied by musicians and singers, went to the bride's house, Matthew 25. Then after receiving her from her parents with their blessing, he conducted the whole party back to his own house. On the way, other friends of the bride and groom joined the party, and there was much music and much dancing, Psalm 45. A feast was held at the bridegroom's house. Later in the evening, the bride's parents escorted her to the nuptial chamber, Genesis 29, while he was led there by his friend or the bride's parents. The next day, the festivities were resumed, and they continued for 1 week or 2 weeks. Can you imagine having a wedding reception for a week or two? Buddy, we could do some damage on some food in that time, but I want to tell you. Anyway, the next day, the festivities were resumed and continued for a week or two, Genesis 29, Judges 14. And the wedding festivities included much music and joking and dancing. It was a celebration. That's why Faith gets sometimes, as I've mentioned, she's asked the question, when did these people work? They had these weddings they'd attend. They'd have a party to for a week or two. They'd have all these feasts. I mean to tell you, these people had a time. They enjoyed life. They knew how to celebrate. And God built it right into their culture. That's what God did. I do not think that it is wrong for New Testament saints to celebrate either. By the way, I put this note in my notes. Back to the wedding. It was a celebration with food, not just finger foods. I'm not big on these wedding things. We have finger foods at the end, man. We got to have real food. You know, they go there and they have themselves a time. Now, you say, well, we're not Jews. I know that. But I don't think it's wrong for New Testament saints to celebrate either. I know Christmas has become commercialized, but that does not mean I can't love the carols. I can't enjoy the candles. I don't have to like the decorations and the gifts and relive the wonder of an angel announcing, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a child, which is Christ the Lord. What's wrong with celebrating all of that stuff? There's absolutely nothing wrong with celebrating that stuff. Have you noticed this? How little Christians, us, New Testament saints, celebrate Easter? That personally bugs me. We have a Christmas party. How come we don't have an Easter party? The crucifixion is one thing. When Jesus, and the Day of Atonement was one thing in the Old Testament. It was different from the other feasts. But Easter is resurrection. If there's a time to celebrate, how come we don't celebrate? I don't understand that. Now this year particularly, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but I spoke several times in relation to the Passion Week of our Lord. I did that on purpose. I think I spoke 8 or 10 different Easter messages that went along with that week. I plan on doing that every Easter from now on because I think Easter should be celebrated. I really do. Celebration, let's talk about this, celebration in the family of faith. I remember a few years ago, I don't remember how many it was, but it was a few. And we had a Christmas program where different people in the church all volunteered to do something special for a Christmas. We didn't have an organized cantata. Mike might remember the day, I don't. But people just did different things. Man, I thought it was awesome. They put their little whatever they were going to do together, and they came up, and it was just a wonderful celebration for the church family in Christmas time. I thought our Easter cantata this year, and many of you evidently thought the same thing, was absolutely terrific in a moment of celebration. Jesus was at a celebration. John chapter 2, he was invited to a wedding, and he went to that wedding along with his disciples. And they were there, and they were celebrating. He also observed all those feasts of the Jews. We need to celebrate. And as a family of God, we should celebrate together. It's not wrong for you to have people over to your house, and some that you've never had over before, I might add, and have a dinner together and celebrate together and enjoy each other's company, one with another, and, you know, potlucks and different things that church do. We're a family. We actually do eat one meal a week together on a Wednesday evening. You know what we do? We eat. And you know what else we do is we sit around the supper table? We talk. That's what we do. That's what people do. And let me say this about celebration. You don't have to ruin it for other people. It is not your minute. God has not called you to make a day of celebration miserable for everybody else. God's not called you into that particular ministry. Now, the Jews had originally 6 feasts, and then they added 2 later on. And I think we need to celebrate more, but I think our personal families need to celebrate more. Start at the supper table. Cook a nice dinner. Have your family there. Turn the TV off. Gather around and eat a nice meal together. Celebrate events in people's lives. I kind of look back, and more than just the money, I mentioned that I lost out on my graduation, okay? But more than that, I wish we'd have had a party when I, that would have been nice too. I'm not saying I wouldn't have wanted it, but I'm just saying it would have been nice to celebrate a graduation. So I think people need to celebrate. Dysfunctional families don't, and healthy families do. So if you take a time and you say, I'm just going to take some time and celebrate with my family this day or that day, have at it. It's not wrong. It's not sinful. Let me review a little bit of what we've covered the last few weeks. knowing how something works enables us to fix it when it breaks down. In healthy families, love does not have to be earned. It's unconditional with no strings attached. It's the sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without any thought of return. In dysfunctional families, love is given on the basis of performance. You do this, I'll show love. You don't do this, love is cut off. There is a pattern of blaming and shaming in dysfunctional families. In healthy families, there is no finger pointing saying, everything here is your fault. You can't do anything right. Healthy families learn a principle. What can I do to make this situation better? We spoke about unhealthy comparisons and competition. Healthy families view everybody as valuable and as unique. Not all the same, but as valuable and unique. Denial and delusion. Regardless if it's laziness or drinking or working all the time or a workaholic or whatever you want to call that, the guilty party will say, I don't have a problem. Yes, you do. You might be living in denial and delusion. Healthy families learn to say this, yep, I have a problem here. You know, as I went through this dysfunctional family list, I can relate to a whole lot of them on that list. Oh, honest, isn't that awful? But I could go, yep, what's next? Okay, not a problem there. I really could. I don't know, not all of them to the same degree, but I can relate to an awful lot of them. And either God is working on me, or God needs to work on me. But yay, I mentioned celebration has always been one of those things that I just scratched my head like, but isn't this a waste of time? Let me tell you what I can tell myself. No, it's not a waste of time. It's a good thing. That isn't to say that I still don't feel when it's the time to celebrate some big event. I still can struggle with it once in a while, probably more often than I ought to. Compulsive addictive behaviors, they hold families in bondage. Perfectionism, I have this need to impress, or people need to be impressed with things. Healthy families expect mistakes. They allow room for mistakes. I try to figure people just don't do stupid things all the time. I like to think they just didn't do that on purpose. So it was an accident. I'm not going to worry about it. But healthy families are, and this was the phrase I used, consistently adequate. They're not perfect, but they're consistently adequate. Frozen feelings characterize dysfunctional families. That was last week, I think. Healthy ones learn how to express their emotions. I pray you will. And tonight, we had a couple other in there, and bitterness, some other things. Healthy families enjoy times of celebration. Dysfunctional families find it hard to have a good time. There are more traits of a dysfunctional family. I won't give any more at this particular time. I will say this. Dysfunctional families have rigid and sometimes almost impossible rules to live by. Healthy families are a little bit more flexible. Healthy families are more consistent, and they don't send double messages. I could speak on that. You know, you say one thing, but you do another thing. That's really a horrible dysfunction. My dad had a principle. Don't do as I do. Exactly. Do as I say. But you know what? That doesn't work. In reality, you can't live like that. Discipline is consistent in healthy families. In unhealthy families, it's on again, it's off again. The kids are living in confusion because they don't really know where they stand. If you are in one of all these different dysfunctions, let me give you a piece of advice. Decide to change. We're not going to live like this anyway. I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm not going to be like this anymore. Have you ever heard the Lord referred to as the great physician? The great physician can fix any home. He really can. We just have to allow him to do it. Let's pray. Well, Father, we've looked at different, I guess for lack of better words, issues or sins in our lives and in our families, and often we bring them into the church family. But as Amy said earlier, this really is our extended family. I mean, this is all of our, for those of us who have been around Christianity long, the church will make up the majority of our closest friends. They will make up the people that we love and that love us. The people that we are closest to. The people that we enjoy a laugh with and we cry with. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for every season. And the church family often is the family that we share all of the different seasons with. Teach us to celebrate. Teach us to love one another as we ought. Teach every individual family here, if there's a problem, give them the courage to admit it. And just be committed to changing and fixing that dysfunctional family. And with you, nothing is impossible. We can fix, I shouldn't say we, you can fix what is broken. And I trust that you will. And that you'll grow strong, healthy families. Thank you for the moms that are here. Help them to begin the celebration if they haven't already. Around the supper table at home, learn how to raise their children, to sit around and talk, visit, eat together, turn the TV off, put the computer off, get rid of the cell phone for an hour, and just enjoy the celebration of the family. It's a great gift that you gave us, and we certainly are thankful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, if you'll come, please.